Hey, what's up YouTube? This is Perry with Premier Guitar in Nashville, Tennessee at the Ascend Amphitheater. Hanging out with Third Eye Blind today. This is our buddy Chris.
Hello.
Chris is the man. He's got awesome gear. Last time we talked, it was 2014, I think is the last time we talked here.
I thought it was 2015, but if you say 14, then...
It may have been, yeah. But I know that there are some significant changes.
On the amp side of things, yeah, and the pedal boards.
Yeah.
But the guitar...
And then you got a couple new friends in here too, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to think what we didn't cover last time. And I think that last time we certainly had this, which is the Faux 9.
Yep.
Which is...
This is a custom shop.
Yeah. It's a custom... No, it's a custom guitar made by... So, I think... But that was definitely in my boat. That's actually been used by Colin now.
Or, let's not say who the guy is.
Yeah, I don't actually know who the guy is. But there's that. And then there's this SG, which probably wasn't out last time.
Yeah.
And again, Colin is using this. And this is just a 92. And... I got this from London 150 million years ago. And it was played by a guy who was in like the top AC/DC cover band in the UK. And then this, this guy.
I remember this guy,
which is like the Stormtrooper. This is one of Steven's guitars. And we're only using it because we have Blinded in the set right now. And Blinded is such a unique tuning that we needed to have add another guitar, and we couldn't do a guitar swap because we're doing it as part of a medley. So
yeah,
we
had to. Tuning wise, are kind of all over the place, right?
Yeah, always. Always.
Yeah.
This guy here, Fett, we covered in the last one. It's Stefano JM6.
This is the actual, this is when Dennis was with the company, right?
Yeah, so I don't know what's happened with all of that. I didn't keep up with it, but I know that Dennis doesn't make Fano guitars anymore, does he?
No, I think he's got a new company.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, that's so beautiful.
But yeah, it's still one of the most beautiful guitars. The thing, I'm putting all these guitars back wrong. Joseph, my guitar tech, will be going nuts.
Love this. Another
TC6, this is one that Dennis made for me to my specs.
God, I just can't get it. I love that headstock. I've always loved it. It's
yeah,
so
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. And this is, we use this a half step down, or a full step down. This is for like Bonfire that's been using the set now for.
Compensated saddles, nice.
Yeah, it's a Lindy Fralin in the back, and that's not a TV Jones, it's actually Seymour Duncan. It's kind of like the Gretsch White Falcon pickup, you know, we wanted that kind of tone out of it.
I'm guessing from the way it looks, it's kind of Filtertron-ish.
Filtertron-ish, yeah, exactly. TK-41 is my number one Telecaster, and this is just an old 97 that I bought in LA, and I think we covered this one on the last one as well.
Just so, as a thing, huh?
Yeah, it's just got that. It's as good as, like, Steven has a 68 Tele, and we use that in the studio a lot like that. And so we A-B'd the two guitars, and our front of house guy was like...
Far and away
tell,
that one,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, can't tell the fucking difference. So.
Wow.
Tarkin, half step up. This is a traditional. I'm not even sure what year it is. It's 09. So...
pretty. I love that.
Yeah.
That maple cap.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
And then this is the newest guitar that I bought. And this is 2009, I think. Yeah, 2009, traditional two. So it's got the pull pots. They're not active on this because I had Joseph change them all out to make it all as black as we could.
Gotcha.
So, because when I bought it, it was the cream, and all this was cream, and these were cream, and all that, you know?
But his body seems a lot fatter than a normal.
This is Vader. No.
That's a backbreaker right there,
yeah,
Bubba.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's a badass guitar.
Now, I know you're running a ton of different tunings.
It's a GoPro.
Do you guys run different string gauges for tunings? Or?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we
Your tech has got a hell of a job, dude.
Well, I've got the best tech in the business, Joseph Pepper, so shout out to Joe. Cartel.
Joe
yeah, so this is a perfect example. This is Tidarium, and this is an R0, and this is my number two Les Paul. And custom shop, you feel the weight in it. And the neck is a real 60s profile neck on it. It's a beauty.
So, what do they got in here, do you know?
I do know, but I'm not supposed to tell anybody.
Ah,
Gibson Custom Shop. Well, I'm sure they won't care. You can check with them before you put it out.
But, okay.
They're the same pickups that they put in Jimmy Page's, Jimmy Page number two.
Wow.
So they're Jimmy Page approved. He modeled them on his. And are the exact same thing. And
that's what's up.
Yeah, it's all custom shops.
How cool is that?
Yeah, it's something else.
Oh, so. What happened there? Bummer.
Yeah, I know, yeah, I don't know. That's new. That wasn't there last night. So Joseph put 12s on this guitar. So, because this is a DADF shop.
Oh, so that way at least he has a code to go by.
Yeah, so 12s for anything that we're that's going steps down,
sure.
We gauge up the strings.
Mm-hmm. So if you're going, you mentioned, I think the black one is a half step higher, right?
Vader is actually, it's like, we use it for like Wounded and God of Wine, so it's going down, so it's 12s as well. It's just the G string isn't wound.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
so
yeah.
It's 12 so you steps.
Yeah, I hate those because you can't bend this.
And it just feels weird on your fingers.
It does feel really weird.
I'm on the wrong string, I'm on the right string. So, and then my number one is BB-8, which is an R8.
Yeah.
And beautiful custom shop, absolute beauty. Yeah. And
gorgeous.
Weight and a 58 neck. It's just serious.
It's pretty heavy guitar, too. I think last time you had like one that was maybe chambered or something like that.
Well, that was Emperor. That's Steven's kind of fake.
Oh, okay,
thing.
Cool.
I don't even know. It's from some dude in Vegas made it or something like that. And it is chambered, it's really, really light.
Yeah.
So.
Well, right on, man.
But it doesn't sound great anymore compared to these guitars. So I gave it to the auxiliary guy.
Yeah, your keyboard player plays a little bit too, right?
Yeah, he plays some guitar parts. Cool. Yeah.
So, obviously, you have tons of fun to have here, but the last time we spoke, you were running like a JMP and like all tons of stuff. Yeah. I think a Fender Showman and like.
Tone Master
and, Mesa Cabs and all kinds of stuff.
Mm.
But no more.
Yeah, I mean, how do I explain it? It was our front of house engineer, Robert, he was touring with some other bands when we had some downtime, and he was using Kempers, and he said there's just no reason to not be using them. And we didn't really know. I was like, oh, another one of these digital fucking things. I don't give a shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I spoke to Thomas at Kemper, and he said, let me send you one. You know, he's a funny guy. And he sent it out, and I just plugged it in at home and started playing around with it. And then I got in touch with Mike Britt, who's actually in Nashville, actually. I should probably invite him to the show tonight, should. And he's like, they call him Dr. Kemper. He's basically like the Kemper guy. He profiles everything. And it took me a minute to work out what the difference is. I kept saying, like, I don't really want a modeling thing. And Thomas from Kemper was like, it's not modeling, it's profiling.
Right.
And so the difference is, you know, it's if you hear Axe FX or whatever like that and compare it to a Kemper, I mean, there's just no difference. There's no comparison between the two. My rig, my Tone Master and everything is what we used.
You profiled all your amps.
We profiled all our stuff, but we got Mike Britt to do it in Nashville. So we went to his place and he does all his profiles. He sells them and stuff like that, you know? And he's got this crazy, like, set up all these amps and everything that he does. So he showed us the whole profiling process. And so we got him to profile my amps, we got him to profile Steven's. Vox AC30 to 64 Vox AC30.
Oh, sweet.
All original. The only thing that's changed in it is the fuse.
Crazy.
It's crazy.
Man, what a huge convenience. Right. Because, I mean, you were traveling with racks of pedals and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess that eliminates all of that. And so you're just controlling it with an RJM and some expression pedals.
Yeah, we got the GT16s. And, do you want to go over
and
have a
look at that last time. I think you were using an RJM.
I was using a GT22.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, because we had all those effects and all sorts like that. With this system, it's different. It's easier to move through those banks, and we just have dedicated banks for every song. And we've got a kind of a Swiss Army knife bank that's, oh shit, just go here.
In case of an emergency kind of thing. Yeah. How long did it take you to go through your amps, dial in all the sounds, get a set list together, like have it show ready?
Oh boy. Well, we learned on the job because for the 2017 tour is when I went down to Kempers, and what we were doing on that tour was the 20th anniversary of the band's first record. So we had to play, you know, all those songs. We were going to play them all in sequence. So I went back to the record and listened to it, and me and Steven just sat there and
dialed it in.
Yeah, well, he just basically said, like, that's a Vox AC30, that's a Marshall, you know, all like that. So we got those profiles and just tweaked them. So we started from the same kind of place.
At least you had a reference point to start from, you know, you could listen to the record and be like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. And then we A-B'd, like, we did the profile of my Tone Master, and we A-B'd them in the studio.
On monitors.
And, like, we had everybody in the room, and everybody was going, like, Jesus.
Can't tell.
I mean, it's so minuscule, the difference between
them.
And front of house just gets the exact same thing every night. And
that's what I was going to say. Like, there are so many, you know, amp purists. Mm-hmm. And, of course I love amps. Amps are awesome, but there's so many guys that are so stuck on amps, and it's like, at the end of the day, it's coming through paper speakers and a PA. I mean, it's like,
yeah,
the difference,
yeah.
If you can, you know, there's some guys that say, oh, I can hear the microphonic differences between 12AX7s and stuff like that. And it's like, well,
yeah.
I guess I've been listening to way too loud of music for my whole life because I can't hear the difference.
The more variables you can eliminate from the live show makes it more consistent for front of house, you know?
Right.
So he gets a direct line. We do run, like, I'll show you my cabinets in a minute, but we do run my cabinets from the camper just for stage volume
and for feedback. Sure.
Yeah, because that's the one thing that was initially, I was like, it's just nothing.
Are you guys on ears, or you have any monitors?
Ears, yeah. Cool. We used to have side fills. We're talking about getting them back, actually, but at the moment, just
if you change,
ears.
Yeah, you can always get some feedback out of those a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, cool, let's go take a look. So this Tone Master on stage, like you said, is just for some stage volume.
Yeah, and feedback, but it also actually is our go-to in case, like, if the two campers go down, or if you lost power to your campers or something like that.
At least you have an amp here.
Yeah, Joseph just flies this out and flies out a board, analog board.
Can you hear this? I mean, do you feel it on stage, or can you hear it through
your
ears?
With the ears, you don't hear it.
Not
this
at all.
Like the actual cabinet.
Uh-huh.
Now, there's a setting on the camper that actually turns off the cabinet.
Sim?
I don't know, there's some crazy algorithm they use. I was like talking to Mike Britt about it and going like, how does it know? And he was like, it just knows,
it
dude.
It just knows.
So. It's like it knows what tone, the variety of tone that's coming out of it. It knows what part, what percentage of that is cabinet tone as opposed to head tone. So you can turn the cabinet on and off. So if you want to have your cabinet sound, so the sound that comes out to here is cabinetless, and the sound that goes to front of house is cabinet.
Well, sure, because I guess that would affect that tone quite a bit.
So yeah.
This is just dry, direct signal from the Kemper.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and then, yeah, the artwork and all the rest of it. Did I tell you about the artwork?
Oh, no, Tokidoki, which is awesome. This is beautiful,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, Simone Legno is a mate of mine, and he has this company, Tokidoki. He's Italian. And if you ever speak to him on the phone, he's Italian as fuck. He's like, hey, kiddies. So he did this artwork for me, and then we had Fender Custom Shop Toe Legs do the toe legs. And it's an original Tone Master behind all of this.
Oh, gotcha.
It did kind of sort of break our hearts to have the toe legs stripped off. And especially, I think this cabinet was basically brand new. Joseph found it for me, my guitar tech. Joseph found it for me in Atlanta. And I was like, God, it looks like it's just out of the box. And he was like, I know.
Oh,
and we were both like, oh my God, we're going to strip it down. But I mean, look at it now. So.
Who made did Fender make you the custom plate?
The plate? No, I actually had it made by a dude that Robert, our front of house guy, put me in touch with. And he made me two of them. And we just put those stuff on that. And Joseph changed out all of these knobs for black because, you know, it's all like kind of dark brown and all that stuff.
Yeah.
The light is white. And I think this light changed. We changed it to white as well. So,
how cool.
And then we changed the Fender things to silver because you could get them as on the Tone Masters, they're like a different color as well.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it did. When it arrived all finished, I was like, oh my God, you know. So cool. And every day when Joseph takes this out of its case, all the local crew go, what the fuck? They all come up and take pictures.
What is it? Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah.
That is too cool. So now that you're running Kemper, like, do you trust it? Like, you know, like, you've been playing amps?
Never,
your whole life.
Yeah. I mean, when we learned on the gig with the Kempers, because we got them in for the 2017 tour, and we were in pre-production when we went, this is what we're going to do. So I still had two actual boards, like regular boards, and we switched the camper, and then we had to mimic. So Joseph was like, you know, Ron at RJM was sending us out the boards, and Joseph was like compiling and putting it all together while we were on tour. So I remember like the first two or three weeks of that tour, we had some issues with just like knowing,
figuring it all out,
yeah, and problem solving, because it's like if something goes down with a digital amp, it's like you need to know how to get it back,
sure.
And stuff like that. So we had a few little funny issues, and I moved on to a wireless system as well, and so it was all kind of brand new. Oh my God, that reminds me, I have to show you something amazing.
All right.
Remind me, say wireless to me in a wee bit. So we kind of learned on the job with the campers, but now we're camper geniuses.
Yeah, now Joseph, I bet after working with it for a little while, you figure it out.
Yeah.
Really, really proficient.
Yeah, Joseph is a wizard on the campers now.
Well, hell yeah, let's go talk wireless.
Dude.
Chris, before we get to your really cool wireless thing, I wanted to just show
you. I'm not sure it's that cool now. I've kind of bigged it up a bit, but it's just the cabling that I'm using.
Let's take a look at your mastermind, because you guys can either do it by set list or by banks, and
So we have a set list for this song menu here at the moment, and this one is It's called All Songs. So this is basically, if I go through the song menu here, and I go,
oh, yeah.
You will see every Third Eye Blind song. And then my, and this is our just Swiss knife. These three are just to, oh fuck, you know what I mean, go here. It kind of covers most of what we do. But these are all specific to the songs. So if I go through, you'll see every song. And it's arranged by album, because Joseph is the most obsessive, compulsive man
I've ever met.
Yeah.
For example, say you're going to play song 66, or Kids Are Coming.
Yeah.
Do you select it?
Yeah.
And then
when you select it, you'll see like drive, lead.
Yeah. Gotcha. So, oh, cool. And then you can turn on the...
There's certain mods like that are specific to each thing. You know, Screamer has the lead fuzz, has an octave down with it. So it's kind of like a Tom Morello kind of...
Gotcha.
And I play it with the wah pedal.
Like what you were using a whammy for?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. And these are the expression buttons that are assignable to anything on the camper.
Sure.
So for I Want You, I have this assigned to a vocoder. So, so it'll talk like that, you know. The rest of the time, it's usually whammies.
Do the expression out change per patch?
Okay. It's patch specific, yeah.
Gotcha.
So you can have, on this one, you can have this, it turns into a whammy, or it turns into a fucking...
Wah volume, sure.
Or whatever, yeah. So for the most part, that's why I had this one red, because I was like, whammy. And then wah, and then volume, yeah. And the two boards are the exact same. They talk to each other and do all that stuff.
That is Ron, so cool.
Yeah.
That's right on, dude. All right, cool. Let's go look at that wireless real quick.
Cool.
So the last piece of this whole puzzle is going to be obviously your Kempers and wireless.
Right.
Which before you were like a long cable guy, right? Or short cable, but you always had cables.
Short cable, yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. We used to just keep all the rack and all the audio cabling as short as possible and then run long media to the RJM controllers. But now I've since gone to wireless, and this is what I wanted to show you. This is just custom made for me just before the tour.
That is
by,
so tight.
By Divine Noise, Gil Divine, who makes these amazing cables that I used to use.
Yeah, I remember
when I was cabled.
You had
yeah.
like a 10-footer or something, yeah.
Oh, they were huge, yeah. But he used to do like what's called a 50-50, so half it would be curly and half would be straight.
Right.
So on the ground it would be straight, and then as it comes up to the guitar it'd be curly. So it looked like you had a big long curly lead, and they're bright white, they're beautiful, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I said to him like, hey, look, I'm going out to fucking wireless now. Check it out, it's fucking beautiful.
That's so cool. And this isn't like your mom's telephone and gets tangled up or
anything
like
that. No,
right?
Never. So I was like, now I'm going to be on wireless. Do you think you could make me the wireless equivalent of your thing? So he did.
It looks cool.
Yeah, isn't it neat?
Yeah, that's so cool.
I love it so much. So when I got them first initially, Joseph, my guitar tech, was like, it was such nonsense, you know? But now we love them. Yeah, it's cool. And these are the Kempers. So
cool.
We use...
Main, backup.
Yeah, A and B. They do everything together, so if you change
one... So they're switching.
They switch all the time themselves together. And then we use mostly Mike Britt and Top Jimmy profiles. And then we use my Tone Masters in a few of them. And then you'll get to Steven's rig afterwards. With Steven's rig, he's using his Vox AC30, the 64.
That he actually profiled from his actual amp.
Yeah, Britt profiled it for us.
That's cool.
At the Doctor.
Were there any amps that were already baked in that you really liked the sound of or anything? Or
on the actual, the stock Kemper as it arrives, I don't think we're using any of those. Not to shit on the...
No, I'm sure they're fine. But
they have some of Mike Britt's profiles in there, actually. So they're all fine, but there's some stuff in there that I would never really touch.
You know? Also, if you're trying to emulate your own amps, why not just profile your actual amps?
Yeah, but again, we're trying to get like those classic tones off the first record, so we started from there and then built up from there. Yeah.
Brilliant. Mm. Well, Chris, always a pleasure. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Absolutely,
to talk to us.
Anytime,
we're
going
to get with Danny and go talk Steven's gear.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, now we're on the other side of the stage talking to Danny Nolan, who's kind enough to go through Steven's gear with us.
Yeah.
Really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We didn't get his gear last time, so this will be a nice little treat.
Yeah, sadly, because we had a lot of actual gear out last time.
There was a ton of gear. You know, other than, you know, obviously you guys are doing Kemper for Steven as well, but he has some cool stuff going on in here.
He does. Different approach, too. Steven is really into just shortest connection, straight jack tone. Just
nothing.
You know, no frills, no pedals,
few
nothing.
Variables.
Just. The less it goes wrong, the better. What do you want to start with?
I guess let's talk guitars.
Okay.
What would be like his number one?
Well,
I guess it depends, right?
Funny story.
Oh.
The new number.
Tell me, bring it on.
So, we've been using just 335s for quite a while.
Yeah, I've seen him play 335s.
Yeah, so it's a 2007, just standard, and goes great with like a Jubilee tone or just an AC30. But he kind of wants to get away from the Sunburst 335s and go into more a little more fun. So I pulled out some of the old Explorers from like the, I think, what, 2002 tour, maybe 2003? And
rules.
Yeah, so we've been kind of been playing with that.
And then,
about a week or so back, this little gem shows up. So it's an 81 Ibanez bolt-on Iceman. And the story goes, because it actually has a Paul Stanley signature on it. The story is that the guitar tech for Paul Stanley in the 89 tour asks if he can have a guitar signed for one of his good friends for his birthday. And Paul Stanley's like, yeah, take this. There you go. Sure.
Yeah.
He gives it to his friend. 30 years it sits with his friend. His friend comes into some hard times and he sells the guitar. And this guy buys it. And then he sells it, trying to make a buck. And my friend Joe Howard, he drives out to Jersey and buys it for $300.
When?
Not even 2 weeks ago.
That's hilarious, dude.
Yeah. So, and just researching online, like you can kind of see like where, you know, little holes here and there, stuff that's been covered over.
Something's been changed. Yes.
It's, yeah.
It's weird that it has diamond inlays. Like, what the hell are these?
Yeah, I can't find any of this.
I don't think I've ever seen.
With an Ibanez.
Yeah, me neither.
So, yeah.
What is this, like an 85 or something?
It's got 85 maybe. Maybe EMGs.
Could be, yeah.
Who knows? Yeah, I'm not questioning it, but so I brought it, put some new strings on it, set it up. And it sounds amazing. Our front of house guy just flipped. He was just like, dude, best thing ever.
Chris was telling me backstage earlier that this thing sounds so fucking
yeah,
good.
Yeah, it sounds like Dokken.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and Steven loves it. He loves the story, he loves the sound, he loves the way it plays. I'm like, well, you know, well, best $300 spent, you know, so. Yeah, it's, yeah, so that's kind of what he's been doing.
I love that he's playing that, dude, that is so silly.
I know, it was kind of, maybe.
So he's got a 335 and a backup, an acoustic and a backup, and then
yeah. So the way it's kind of set up now is like I flip flop between these as his main tones, and then half the set this just becomes the main guitar that he's just on the Iceman, and then the 335 just kind of becomes a redundant.
Sure.
So I'm not even touching the burst anymore. But these are just different tunings. This is in an F, and then he has the other Explorer, which is a Daddy Yak tuning for Wounded.
Gotcha.
But yeah, the tones are really nice on it. It's all like original, like no antiquities, nothing, just stock. And then acoustic wise, I picked this up a few years ago from Chicago Music Exchange.
Very cool.
54 LG3, I think.
Any tours in it?
Yeah, and I think it's a little small sounding of a guitar because it's really small voiced. But he loves it, so I'm like, I'm not gonna question it. Yeah, but
yeah,
it's pretty. Yeah,
it's got a very strange like yellow to it, like a
yeah, it's on. Really checkered.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, I don't, yeah, if that's what you want, that's what you get.
Yeah.
So that's kind of it. It's really.
And then for his is this just a backup?
Yeah, acoustic? That's just yeah. This like I think it's like a late 2000s Hummingbird. And honestly, like I've knock on wood, I've never had it have to really come out there once in a blue moon. It
what
comes
pickup
out.
Pickup system is in the.
I want to say we switched over to the Fishman Underbridge,
oh,
like the Matrix, I think it is.
So one of those under saddle transducer.
Yeah, under saddle. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good sounding little guitar.
Right on. And so, of the entire set, how many songs or how much is Steven playing? Like,
this tour, I'd say he's probably on the guitar like 70% of the time.
Oh wow, cool.
Yeah, some tours it's like maybe.
Yeah,
you know,
I think
not even half.
The last time Chris and I saw him at Shaky Knees in Atlanta or something like that, he was barely playing guitar, but he was all over the place.
Yeah, no, this tour he's definitely like third song in one, then he has two songs, and then there's like 5-6 in a row he has his acoustic set, and then at the very end semi this is a really guitar heavy set tour for him.
Cool. And again
Kemper
yeah
and I'm whatever Chris said Exactly.
I get it.
But the main patch, or I hate saying patches, patch. The main modeling, I guess, profile.
Well, profile.
is Steven owns a 64 AC30, yeah. All original. The only thing that's been changed on it is the fuse. And yeah, he's recorded everything on it.
That's crazy.
And that's it. Like, clean is just low gain AC30. His mid to dirty is just an AC30 with gain on the Kemper. And then distorted is AC30 high gain.
Pretty easy.
Yeah, and then for the Iceman, just to give it a little Paul Stanley, we just go with a Marshall Jubilee.
I was gonna say, yeah, is that where the Jubilee comes in?
Yeah, let's just go metal on that. Yeah. But it sounds great. It's,
that is so rad. Huge. I love that you don't even know what pickups are in that sucker. It just sounds
I don't
good.
Care.
Yeah, who cares? If it sounds good, let it sound good.
So, but Steven and I have been talking, like, we're going to try to make a small video, or maybe this will do it, reach out to Paul Stanley and...
Hey, did you sign this, buddy?
Is this yours?
Paul, I know you're watching the Rig Rundown, dude. Yeah. If you signed the guitar in the 80s.
No, Paul Stanley watches all the Rig Rundowns.
Of course he does. Yeah.
Yeah, but I would love it if he was just like, no.
No, I didn't do that.
Or that's mine. You know, like
either way, $300, you can't. Yeah, I guess if it sounds great, you can't beat that.
Yeah, but like Joe said, I told him, I'm like, I got the, the signature doesn't look real. It's questionable, dude, at best, And he's just like, yeah, but think about it. That guitar has been on stage twice, and that's with Paul Stanley and Steve Jenkins. And I'm just like, hey, you got a point. So
pretty cool.
That's the story.
It's pretty cool. Well, Danny, thank you so much for taking the time to walk us through this.
All right,
guys, stay tuned for more Rig Rundowns, riff rundowns, lessons, all that fun stuff. See you soon.